On this week's episode, In Her Space.
And all this, and I used to be super judgmental of myself and other people. And I would shun my own feelings and judge other people when they were expressive sexually because I was taught that you weren't supposed to. And I think the more I grow and evolve, I realize that we are multifaceted beings. And it's okay for us to be the multidimensional beings that we are. So we can be sophisticated, sexual, sanctified, sensual, and spiritual at the same damn time. And that's okay.
It is okay. And I think a lot of that ties into patriarchy and this understanding, this notion or this expectation that sex is about what men want.
Welcome to Her Space, a podcast dedicated to uplifting women like you. We're your hosts, Dr. Dominique Broussard, a college professor and psychologist,
and Terry Lomax, a techie and motivational speaker. In a world where Black women are often misrepresented and misunderstood, please join us as we initiate authentic conversations on everything from fibroids to fake friends and create a safe space where Black women can just be.
Okay, lady. Today's episode, we are diving in and talking about our younger selves. And I want to start us off with a quote from Gabrielle Union's book, We're Gonna Need More Wine. Your deep mahogany skin may not resemble that of the others in your family, but it's just as gorgeous and you're just as worthy. One day, you'll appreciate how much your brown skin shines in the moonlight, glistens in the sun, and ages ever so slowly.
Have you ever had one of those experiences where you looked back on your life and you thought to yourself, girl, if I did what I know now, because I know I have.
I have too. And I think about, it's a tricky thing, right? Like, at my age now, I think about things that I would tell my younger self at different stages in the game. But I think I want to stick to like my young adult self, like my under 25 self. Okay, so for my young adult self, you know, I think that what I would say about relationships, finances, sexuality, career, and womanhood, like all of those are things that come up for me. And what I would tell my young adult self is different than what I would tell myself like maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And even what I would tell myself as a teenager.
Yeah, that makes sense. I would agree with that. I would definitely add self-esteem to those too. I feel like that has changed so much and evolved over time. And so I guess I'm gonna focus on what I would tell my young adult self as well. So like, what would I tell my younger self when it comes to relationships, for instance? And I know the first thing that comes to mind for me is know that those red flags are there for a reason, okay?
Ooh, yes. Okay, all right, yes. Red flag, there for a reason. You got a story for us?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I have so many examples where it's just, you know, you're in a situation. You know, typically in relationships, you start off, everything's great. You got the honeymoon phase. And you're like, oh, my God, so amazing. I'm so in love. Like, everything's so perfect. And then you start to see little things and make excuses for them, right? So it's like, oh, he cares so much. He's so controlling. He's, like, always wants to be around me, like, blows my phone up, like, nonstop. In like situations like this, oh, he's called me 50 times because he couldn't get a phone. You know, he didn't get the answer on the first ring. Oh, that's so cute. Little stuff like that where it's like, girl, those red flags that you ignore today are going to be the same exact thing that drive you crazy in the future. And so it's just like, pay attention to that now because when you think about it, though it might be flattering in a moment, that also might speak to where I might have been self-esteem-wise because if that's flattering to me, that's not really healthy, right? So it's just it's a matter of kind of balancing it all. And looking at it objectively, but there's a lot of stuff that I excuse. Maybe the sex was good, right? And you're like, oh, well, I'll just tolerate this one thing because I had one girl from where she used to pay for everything. She was dating a guy. He never had a job. She was really holding him and, like, taking care of him. But she was the kind of person, and this is no judgment. It's just kind of stating the facts and conversations we had. She was the kind of person that really was kind of desperate to be in a relationship. She really wanted to be with someone, that she was willing to put up with that. Later, it didn't work out. And that issue in the beginning that she thought was cute, like, oh, I treat him, we changed the dynamic of our relationship, ended up being one of the main reasons why they weren't together, because he was really taking advantage of her.
And see, I think that piece, it kind of ties into the other piece that I have that comes up for me, is trusting your gut, right? Because I think our gut, our instincts give us information about those red flags, right? So if your partner is calling you 50 times in a day and something in your gut is like, whether it's this annoys the hell out of me, or I can't even put my finger on it, but your gut lets you know that, wait, something isn't quite right here. Trust your gut. And also trust your gut when things feel good. Don't run away from the things that feel good, because sometimes we will do that.
Girl.
Sometimes our gut will say, this might not be the norm. This might not be how you were raised. This might not be what everyone else wants for you. But if your gut tells you that this feels right, go for it.
You know what you just made me think of? You made me think about the fact that sometimes, and this kind of ties into trust your gut, sometimes we'll self-sabotage. I remember for me growing up and seeing men do women so dirty. Like, in my family, there would be situations where my uncle, he would bring a new woman to the house for every holiday or every other week. And I'm like, oh, he's all his girlfriend. Okay, he's just fucking all these chicks. And I would watch them do that. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, that's never going to happen to me. It impacted me in a certain way. So that impacted the way I showed up in relationships. And I remember when I would get into a relationship, it was very hard to open up. And I would sabotage something that appeared to be good because I was like, oh, I don't want to get hurt. I'm going to stay closed off. So even trust your gut when it's like, maybe it's the cornball that you don't think is your type. And you're like, oh, I would never go with him. But, well, he has everything that's on the list. But he didn't come in the package that you wanted him to come into. He didn't come in the package that you envisioned him coming into. Does that make sense? Did I say that the right way?
Yeah.
He didn't come in the way that you envisioned him coming. And so now you're like, oh, my gut is saying this might be it, but I'm going to sabotage it because I don't really know, right? Or for whatever reason. So I think that's what that makes me think of as well.
Yes, definitely. Definitely trusting our gut on all of these things.
All these things.
And
because we're smarter than we think we are a lot of times. And I feel like we keep getting those feelings in our gut for a reason. And even to this day, I'm still working on developing that sensitivity with my gut, because I'll feel something as simple as, you know how your gut will tell you, bring an umbrella. Even though you didn't see the weather, you didn't see it was going to rain, but something just told you, bring an umbrella when you go out the house. You go out the house and it's misty, like, this is my hair. And so you have to run back in the house. And it's like, why didn't I just listen to my intuition? I feel like those are great opportunities for us to test that and build the muscle so that we know when our intuition is telling us something, so that you can also use that in a relationship.
Ooh, excellent point. Excellent point. And I think that the other piece that our gut also tells us is that there are times when we, as we grow and we evolve, that this relationship might not be for us anymore.
I would think that, I would definitely tell my younger self the same thing, like, relationships evolve and it's possible to outgrow people in relationships. And I think I used to always have this mentality where it's like, oh my gosh, I put in so much time. You know, you're in high school and you might be dating someone. You're like, we've been together for 2 years. This is so long. We've been through so much. So because of all the time that we put into the relationship, we're just going to stay together because we put so much time in. When it's like, why are you going to stay in something that's broken and it's not working because of all the time you put in? It's never too late to start fresh. It's never too late to start over for something better.
Exactly. And knowing that you're and trusting the process, right? And so if your gut is saying, you know what, we have outgrown this and you've gotten the red flags and you're like, okay, just because we've known each other since childhood does not mean that we have to stay together and that it is okay and you will be okay. I think that's the biggest message to my younger self in terms of relationships is that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
You will be okay whether you decide in a relationship or they break up with you. Sometimes in the moment, it just seems so overwhelming and it seems like this is the end of my life, it's over, but it's like, you will be okay. My mom used to always say, you came to this world alone, you're gonna leave this world alone, like you will be okay if the relationship ends, right? And so I guess we should move on to finances. Ooh, girl, what would you tell your younger self about finances?
Tying it into relationships, that I don't need a partner to handle my finances. And so, you know, and everyone has to figure out what they want for them, like what they need out of a relationship. But for me, I would definitely constantly remind my younger self that, girl, you got this. And a healthy relationship for you does not include you being financially dependent on a man.
Where do you think that came from, Dom? Like that thought of, I might need a partner or a man or something like that.
I think that's society. I think society has groomed us to believe that in order to have the quote-unquote American dream, that it needs to be a two-person household and that it's a two-person heterosexual household with the man as the provider. And even if the woman has a good job, because they said that, you know, we supposedly evolved, you know, over the last few decades, but and that women can, and then it's quote unquote okay for women to have careers. But it's still this notion of the man should be the provider and the woman, no matter what type of job she has, should not make more than her man. And so for me, what I would tell my younger self is that financially, you take care of you.
I would say that I would tell my younger self to never choose money over your passion. But if you do, because sometimes we do, create an exit plan to get back to your passion. And I do have an experience for that. And I remember when I got out of, when I graduated from grad school, I got my first big girl job where I had benefits, I had my little apartment, I had my car. I was making the most money I'd ever made at that point in my career. And I remember being so miserable because I felt like I had sacrificed my real passion, which was motivational speaking, you know, writing books and things like that. And I was working in a different field. And I felt like I had sacrificed all that to check off all the boxes and to get all the things that they said I needed. And the funny thing is, when I got to that point and I had all those things, I was not happy and I was not fulfilled. And that's when I realized, oh, okay. Although I'm at this very comfortable position where I have everything I need. I mean, my job provided me with meals. It was a very comfortable position. A parking space in New York City. I mean, it was lit. It was on point. But I wasn't happy. And that made me realize that that doesn't define you. Sometimes you can choose your passion and you may not make as much money, but you'll still be happy and you can find other creative ways to supplement your income, right? And so that's what I would have told my younger self.
You know, someone once, a mentor once told me that if you pursue your passion, the money will find you. And when I think about that, I think that what that means is that not only does that mean that you are, like you said, putting your passion over the finance piece, But what you're also doing is investing in yourself. And for me, that's one of the things that I would tell myself too about finances, is to invest in yourself. And investing in yourself to me looks like putting money towards helping you pursue your passion. And so if, like, my younger self, psychology is my thing, like mental health is my thing. And so I would tell my younger self to not pass up on those conferences, on those networking opportunities, like all of those things that may have required some money, but would allow you to pursue your passion, to invest in yourself. Even if that means, you know what, I can't go eat sushi tonight, I gotta have some top ramen. But that means that if that means that I'm pursuing my passion and it's setting me up for long-term success, bigger picture success, then make that temporary sacrifice. Top ramen ain't that bad.
Right, it ain't that bad. Put a little seasoning up in there. Seasoning, little hot sauce.
Exactly, spice it up just right. Some sriracha sauce, add some vegetables up in there, and then you have your whole little your own little stir fry situation. You find ways.
And the only thing I would add to that, Dom, if you were with pursuing your passion, I would say think about what your passion is and try to find a need that society has and like build a bridge to that so you can monetize that passion. Mm-hmm. I know some creatives who are like, my cousin, he's so talented and he can draw his behind off, right? But it's like sometimes he has trouble finding a way to actually make a living off of that. But if you can invest in yourself and figure out, okay, how can I either pursue my passion, find a way to monetize it, or sometimes you can keep your day job, like do your day job and do your passion on the side, right? Entrepreneurship and living that life isn't for everybody. Like, it's okay to keep a steady job, get benefits, and making sure your family is stable, and doing your passion on the side so you can still get that fulfillment. So, yeah, I would definitely do that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think the other piece to that, too, is getting a financial advisor, because that financial advisor might also be that person who guides you into saying, OK, well, this is what your money looks like. Here is how much room you have to truly invest in your passion. Here is where you may need to make some cuts or make some changes so that you can pursue your passion. But I would definitely say to my younger self to get a financial advisor.
Yes, amen. I feel like we go on and on with finances because I learned so many bad lessons. I didn't have a lot of structure and information about finances growing up. And so I feel like a financial advisor would be a great place to start if you didn't grow up in a family that talked about finances and balancing your checkbook and credit and investing and all that at the dinner table or at home. Get yourself a financial advisor so you can get that in order.
Yes.
And now, Dom, let's talk about
career. And so I think as we're talking about pursuing our passion, I think that dovetails perfectly right into talking about what your career looks like. And I would tell my younger self that part of really taking full advantage of like your career opportunities would be to study abroad and travel abroad. Like, I can recall specifically there were a couple of times in undergrad, and I do definitely recall a time in graduate school where an opportunity came up to spend a semester abroad doing work in another country and learning about mental health in that country. And I remember a couple of classmates did it. And I remember saying to myself, oh, that seems really cool, but financially I can't afford to do that. So that's just not going to happen. When in reality, if I had looked at that, took that as an opportunity to really invest in myself, I could have spoke to a financial advisor, but then also my school financial aid office about how to make that happen.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, sometimes it's like we don't know about opportunities because we don't have the resources, or we don't know what resources are available to us, but I'm with you there. Traveling abroad, I had a chance to do that for the first time at 17, and I noticed a lot of my counterparts, especially the white people that I'm around and work with, they are a lot of them, not all of them, are well-traveled. Like, they've been taking family trips since they've been younger, and it really helps develop a global perspective when you are able to see other parts of the world, see different cultures and experience different foods and all that good stuff. So I would definitely agree with that. And that leads me on to the next one for me, which would be learn another language. I would tell my younger self, girl, why didn't you, like, pay attention in Spanish class, okay? Because I think that now I realize, girl, like, I was just bullshitting. I was being like, and I, you know, when I was younger, and I stopped doing this as I got older, but when I was in high school, every once in a while, I would be cheating on them tests, girl. I was like, I don't really care about this. It doesn't matter. I'm going to write the answers, girl. I used to write the answers on my hand. A mess. I know. I used to write the answers.
Girl.
I was like, I don't feel like learning this. I want to get an A. And I just kicked myself today. So I'm like, I wish I would have paid attention because that would make me even more marketable, you know? When you speak multiple languages, you're just so much more marketable when it comes to career and what you can do, and you're not easily replaceable because everyone doesn't know. Everyone's not bilingual, right?
Right. If I was a bilingual therapist, girl.
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 Mm-hmm. One more time. Girl.
Mm-hmm. Girl.
Girl.
Your practice will be lit.
Yes. It would be a game changer for real if I had taken up, really pursued Spanish. Because I took Spanish in, hell, they exposed us to Spanish in elementary school. I feel like I might have taken it in middle school. I'm drawing a blank on that right now. I know for sure I took it in high school, and then I took it again in college. Like, for real, I could be bilingual right now.
Yep, I'm with you.
But that's definitely the thing that I would tell my younger self, is to become bilingual early on.
The other thing that I would tell my younger self as it relates to career is your network determines your network. That's a nice little slogan. We hear it a lot, but I have realized that more than ever working in the tech industry in San Francisco. Girl, when I tell you, I've seen people that are not necessarily qualified for jobs, but they know someone that knows someone, or they know the person that they need to know, and they're able to get that connection because of what they know. That determines your network. Now you have this high-paying job because you knew someone who could connect you. And so for me, I have networked my ass off in the last 4 years of living in San Francisco, and it's opened so many doors for opportunity. And it's really about when you think about, you know, I did a branding workshop recently, and I talked about how it's not about who you know, right? It's about who knows you and what they're saying in the room that you're not in.
Yes.
So what are they saying about you when they're in the room with the execs? Are they saying, oh, Dom, she will be perfect for this project? And how will they know that? Because Dom is with a relationship with that person. And so right now, my career, I'm all about building genuine relationships with people. And I noticed that even on that journey, there are some people where I meet them or I get their energy and I'm like, ooh, that's not really the type of energy I'm looking for. And so you just move on to someone else that fits, you know, in the energy field that you want to be in. And we have this sort of mentality where it's like, no new friends. But those new friends are going to be the ones that help you open up new opportunities, right? So, like, we talked about before the showdown, it's like, you don't have to leave your current friend. You just explore and expand the network that you have.
I think that's a great point, because I think my younger self was terrified of networking. And when I really think back on some of the biggest game changers or opportunities that came about for me, things that I wasn't expecting to happen for me, those things came about when I pushed my boundaries, pushed my limits, and networked, right? And so I would tell my younger self, if I think about self-esteem, I would tell my younger self that I don't have to be perfect, and that it's okay to have flaws, and that those flaws can be beneficial to you, beneficial or inspirational to others. But not being perfect means that I'm embracing that I might struggle a little bit with networking, And I would push myself to be in those situations, right? To embrace that I'm not perfect, to embrace and remember that other people in that environment also might be experiencing social anxiety too. Also might be just as terrified of networking as I am. But in order to build up my self-esteem, I need to do it, right? And I need to get some wins. And those wins come from networking.
The other thing I would tell my younger self as it relates to self-esteem is it's okay to be weird and quirky. I feel like ever since I was younger, I realize it now. I didn't realize it at the moment, but I always used to kind of march to the beat of my own drums. I would always get into some weird shit that other people would be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So just embracing that. I feel like nowadays I am more open to that and I embrace it and I walk in and I'm like, yeah, I'm weird. All right, it is what it is. But before I didn't really accept it as much and that caused me to be inauthentic and sort of rob myself of opportunities to just be myself and connect with people on a deep level and be the real me instead of kind of portraying someone that I wasn't. And so I think that was a key nugget from my younger self.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, and I think the thing is to add on to that is to recognize that you're worthy. That quirky girl who might be into country music or who might be into, I don't know, I can't think of anything right now. Let me stop trying to think about what other people might be quirky and think about myself, right?
You're gonna put yourself right? On like, the list.
I love to read.
Yes.
Yeah, so for me, my quirky self, like what I thought made me quirky, but in reality, when I step back and look at it, I love to read. I love to keep my nose in a book. For me, embracing that piece and recognizing that I am worthy of being in whatever environment I show up in, and people who are really meant to be in my circle will accept that.
All right, girls, so let's talk about womanhood. What would you tell yourself about womanhood? I know the first thing that comes to mind for me is it's okay to walk alone and be alone. I feel like I lived in a place where I always kind of wanted to be around people and be around noise, whether it was music or, you know, relationship or just keep stay busy. And I think just learning how to be alone and sort of be still is really important. And for me, it just allowed me to connect deeply with myself so that I could figure out how I wanted to show up in the world as a woman. The black woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, like that walking, like what you said about that walking alone, what comes up for me is this notion of walking alone is defining womanhood for yourself, right? And so what I would tell my younger self is to define that shit for yourself. Don't worry about what other people say you should be doing. Don't worry about what society says is what a woman is supposed to be, right? So we had an episode where we talked about deconstructing the binary, right? And so figuring out what womanhood means to me means that I don't have to necessarily fit into one specific box about what femininity is. And if some of the things that I do may be perceived as masculine, then okay, perceive it as masculine. But if it's something that works for me, if it's something that brings me happiness, then I'm going to do it. So if I'm pursuing that leadership position in a field that may be dominated or a department that might be dominated by men, if I'm coming into the room and I'm taking the lead, if that makes me masculine, then guess what? I'm going to be masculine.
It's your definition of womanhood. And that takes us into sexuality.
Ooh,
right?
Yes.
what would we tell our younger selves about sexuality? And I feel like there's so much that we could dive into, but the first thing that comes to mind for me here when it comes to sexuality is literally as simple as it's okay to be sexual and sensual. I feel like for the longest time growing up, as a woman, I remember the men in my family, there was always a conversation about, you know, sexual prowess and them getting women and them being just doing their thing with different women. But as a woman, it's like, oh no, we're supposed to be good girls, be quiet, and be, I guess, chaste. Asexual. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, be chaste and all this. And I used to be super judgmental of myself and other people. And I would shun my own feelings and judge other people when they were expressive sexually because I was taught that you weren't supposed to. And I think the more I grow and evolve, I realize that we are multifaceted beings. And it's okay for us to be the multidimensional beings that we are. So we can be sophisticated, sexual, sanctified, sensual, and spiritual at the same damn time. And that's okay.
It is okay. And I think a lot of that ties into patriarchy. And this understanding, this notion or this expectation that sex is about what men want, right? And so that it's okay for men to masturbate. It's okay for men to have multiple partners. And it's okay for men to do X, Y, and Z, right? It's about what men want. And so for me, in terms of what I would tell my younger self about sexuality, it would be one, to masturbate. Masturbate and do it in the sense of learning my body, right? And learning my body in what pleases me, not what I can do to please a man, right? Mm-hmm. And I would also tell my younger self to ask for what you need and what you want. Because once you get into that space of knowing your body, then you're able to articulate what you need and what you want from a partner. And so if you like to have sex every day, right? Then you should be able to articulate that. And that should, your womanhood, your femininity should not be questioned. Exactly. No matter what it is that you want, like, you should be able to feel comfortable enough to ask for it. And for me, being able, if my younger self had been doing that, like, and I think about like lots of young people, if our younger selves were out there really advocating for what we wanted, like, we would be, patriarchy would be blown the hell up. Like, it wouldn't even really exist.
And when you think about it, we'll go back to you're worthy. You deserve to be pleasured during sex. Like, you deserve to feel good. You deserve to have experiences that you really want and need. And when we don't ask for what we want, for one, we're not being honest with the person that we're with, so they think they're doing the right thing. And whole time, we're like miserable, like, oh my gosh, I wish they would do this, you know what I mean? But they're not listening because they don't know and we're not saying anything. And it is tough to have the conversation sometimes, especially if it's sort of like mid-relationship and you've been doing something a certain way the whole time. And then one day you're like, you know what? This is what I want. But the thing is, we are evolving beings. And so it's okay to change your mind. It's okay to want something different. And it's okay to advocate for yourself. And it's so, so important to do that.
I think that the biggest piece out of all of that is to recognize that you are worthy, like you said, to trust your gut, and to, in all facets, ask for what you want and what you need. So whether it's on your job and you're like, okay, wait, hold on, I think that I'm doing a good job here. I think I'm deserving of a promotion and a raise. Don't be afraid to ask for that, right? Now, you may get told no, but you don't know unless you ask. What's that phrase? Closed mouths don't get fed?
That's right.
And so no matter what it is that we're looking for, if we don't ask for it, we will never get it.
Exactly. And even though we tell our younger selves all these tips and what nuggets, what we really want to, if you think about it, if we were to go back in time and school our younger selves and give our younger selves a game, would we really be who we are today? Would we have evolved to the women that have learned the lessons that we've learned today, right? And so it's sometimes nice to think about what we go back and tell our younger selves, but we could also reframe it as, what have I learned since that time, right? Because sometimes this conversation can make people feel bad about where they are in life. Like, oh, damn, if I would have known this when I was younger, I wouldn't have went through X, Y, and Z. But maybe you need the X, Y, and Z for you to show up in the world as a more compassionate and empathetic being, right? I look at my life sometimes and think about the adversity that I experienced, and yeah, it was hard. Yes, I wanted to give up. But I'm so grateful for every traumatic experience because it really allows me to be the person I am. Like, I couldn't buy this compassion I had on a store at Walmart. I couldn't learn this empathy at Harvard University. You know what I mean? Like, these are certain gifts that I have now that I'm able to use in the world in my work that I only gained from not knowing what I know now. And so it really is the beauty in the journey. It's never too late to do things that we wanted to do. Like we said, we wanted to learn Spanish. We can go learn a new language. It's never too late to do those things that we know. And now that we do know these things, what are we going to do with our lives? How are we going to show up in the world now that we do know what we wish we would have known then?
Ooh, I couldn't have said it better. I could not have said it better. And so we want to thank you, lady, for hanging with us today and hearing from us, like what we would tell our younger selves. And some of what we would tell our younger selves is maybe what we would tell other younger people. I want you to, if this really resonated with you, I want you to go to the Her Space Sanctuary and let us know, like, let's have a discussion about what you would tell your younger self, or better yet, what lessons have you learned that you are applying in your life today.
Thanks for joining us today in Her Space. Please note that our show may contain conversations about self-help, advice, self-empowerment, and mental health, but it is by no means meant to be a substitute for an ongoing formal relationship with a trained mental health provider. If you or someone you know is in need of mental health care, please visit the Therapy for Black Girls directory, Psychology Today, or contact your insurance provider.
If you liked what you heard and want to keep the conversation going, connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Her Space Podcast, or check out our website at herspacepodcast.com. And before we meet again, repeat after me. I release what no longer serves me to manifest what I desire.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week, ladies.